The Iron Savior's the latest release, the landing was recently released in North America on January 17th. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the concept and ideas behind this release?
Well, I mean, it's been 4 years since the previous one, and, well, I mean, in between, I was working on my other band. I just recently quit, which was Savage Circus. That was two of those 4 years. And, well, another 2 years, unfortunately, I had to deal with the bankruptcy of my record label I used to own, Dockyard, and that was 2 years of not so much fun, I must say. Well, to make a long story short, I was running this company together with two other people. Those two people left me alone, leaving me all alone with tons and mountains of unpaid invoices I had to dig through and, well, basically pay for it all alone myself. And somehow digging myself through that, well, that I somehow overcame by the end of 2010, and things were getting a little bit better. And that actually was the time when I felt, hey, maybe music is not such a bad idea. I can still do it. And I came up with the first song to the album, The Landing, which was Heavy Metal Never Dies. And well, that's basically the story behind The Landing, if you want to call it like this. It's for me, a very emotional album, which is more or less, I more or less wrote it for myself, and it's something, yeah, you can call it a rebirth for myself and also for the band Iron Savior.
And, you know, in terms of the sound and everything, I mean, it's 4 years away, you were focusing on other things. What do you want to do to, you know, keep the ball rolling and keep improving, since Iron Savior has been like that every album?
Well, I mean, actually, I didn't really want to reinvent heavy metal with Iron Savior, because I think that it's just not what Iron Savior is standing for. Iron Savior is a traditional metal band, and so what I was wanting to do with this album was, well, to perform power metal as best as possible, and to have the sound for this kind of music as best as possible. And I mean, some things on The Landing changed. I mean, for example, on the drums, we didn't use any samples at all. It's all totally natural drum. And I think, well, in general, production-wise, I think after 15 years of recording heavy metal records, I have some skills by now, which I use for this album. So, yeah, that's what's happening.
In terms of avoiding to sounding the same and having people say, oh, it's just more of the same, what are your thoughts and how do you handle that when it's released?
Well, I mean, actually, fortunately, there are not too many people who are saying this, that it's always the same. I mean, it is power metal, and I think there are good power metal records out there and not so good. And since power metal is kind of, for me, it's a very emotional kind of music, it's not more or less the song or the song structure or how intelligent your songwriting is or how big your portion of progressive or innovative stuff is. I think it's just a matter of the heart and the emotion that you can transport or not transport. Well, if you have something going, if you have emotions that really kick off and make the songs interesting and make people, well, say, hey, yeah, wow, this is rocking, then it's good. But it's not necessarily caused in the way of composing or having a production done. I think, well, to be honest, I think it's something that you cannot control, that just happens or does not happen. And that's maybe what some people call magic.
And, you know, in terms of the feedback, as you were saying, how are you pleased with what people have said in Europe since it was released November, I think, and now that you're getting feedback from the States?
Yeah, well, I mean, the feedback I'm getting so far is that The Landing actually has this kind of magic.
Are there any points in, like, you know, when you were writing it that you were like, yeah, I don't know if people like that, or you're always self-confident?
No, not at all, because as I said before, the main approach for this album was to please myself. I was in a really bad condition throughout these 2 years where I had to handle this Dockyard shit, and this album was more or less my way out of this, you know. When it came to the point that I really started to enjoy making music again, this really kicked me off. And you know, as I said before, during that time, I was fed up with everything. I was ready to quit at least two or three times throughout those 2 years, and so therefore I had no expectations at all with this album. I just didn't care if anybody would like it and buy it. I was writing it more or less completely for myself. That's why I also allowed myself to come up with a song, Heavy Metal Never Dies. I mean, of course I'm aware that some people think it's cheesy. Myself probably also would call the cheesy, but hey, I felt it this way. I really loved it. It was the first song I wrote for this album. I really loved it. I loved to call it like this, and so I said, fuck you, if you think it's cheesy, well, then you just think it's cheesy. I love it, and I do it, and if you don't like it, I don't care.
And would you say that that's your overall favorite song of the album?
Well, pretty much. It is. I think it's a very strong song, actually, although it's... there are lots of... I really don't have a favorite song on this album, because I think they're all really good songs. I really like them all, I must say. But I think, yeah, I mean, Heavy Metal Never Dies, of course, because it was the first song, is something special for me. But to be honest, I think my really secret favorite song on the album is Hall of the Heroes. I really love this. I really love this epic... big feel that song has.
And you know, in terms of this epicness and the big feel, how much are you into, or either in favor or against, you know, overdoing it on the production side to make it sound so grandiose that you can't, you know, really translate that when you play live?
Well, not so much, actually, because, I mean, Hall of the Heroes, it's rather easy to perform live. I mean, all the sound engineer that is doing front of house live has to do is put a big verb on the snare drum. That'll do the job for Hall of the Heroes. So there's not too much production on this album. I mean, the sounds are really good, but this, I mean, there's not so much production on it, like one would think. I mean, it's just some background vocals, and maybe, of course, a layered guitar, which wouldn't be there when we play it live, but... a song like Hall of the Heroes will also live sound really great, believe me, because there's not too much to it. I mean, this is not Blind Guardian stuff we're talking about, yeah, with 1 million tracks. I mean, it's still based pretty basic piece of heavy metal. It's it's a bass guitar with a drum and two guitars on top of that. And a vocal.
And you know, in terms of this live setting, are there any plans now that the album's out to do some live shows?
Yeah, we're already working on a couple of shows. A couple of shows are already confirmed. We're going to play a couple of shows here in Germany. We also play a show in Moscow, which is confirmed by now. We're going to play some festivals in Sweden, and there's more to come within the next week. So, I think this stuff, we really have to go out on the road. I mean, we really like The Landing a lot. And the songs, they really, I mean, they crave to be played live. I mean, a song like Heavy Metal Never Dies or Hall of the Heroes played live, it'll kill.
And, you know, since you're aware of, you know, both sides of the business, what is your personal preference? Would you prefer to just be able to produce, you know, make music, albums, and still be able to somewhat profit about it, or now that you have to actually make more effort and start touring, merchandise, and other ways of revenue for it to be profitable?
Well, I mean, it's really two different pairs of shoes, I'd say, and both are interesting. I really like to work in the studio and hang out there and sit on my Pro Tools or write songs or also produce stuff of other people. It's also really rewarding to head out and to actually meet the fans, play for them, have a great show, feel the response of the audience, you know, and after the show, hang out with the people, talk to them, and see what they're thinking of what you're doing and stuff like that. I also appreciate and like that really a lot, I must say. So I'm really looking forward to all those live shows we're going to play this year. Yeah. haven't been playing very much in the past 4 years, and so it's more than due that we do that.
And do you think that, I mean, now as people grow older, you know, musicians grow as musicians, are you still up for the, you know, van rides, the van tours, or you're a little bit more upscale in that sense now?
Well, I think, I mean, if we can make it with a hotel, we definitely prefer that. There's nothing wrong with a Nightliner, but I mean, if I have a choice, then of course I would prefer the privacy of a hotel room instead of a Nightliner. Well, I mean, sometimes it's just not possible to have that. But I think the way we are planning our shows right now is that it's going to be more based on hotel stays, you know, and travel the next day to the venue. And we're here within Germany, for us it makes no real sense to be on the road for like 2 weeks in a row or 3 weeks in a row. Because, I mean, there are always these bad days like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where people rather stay at home and watch TV and are not so motivated to get to go out to a venue and watch a band. So we skip those days and we focus on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays and play great shows on those days. And this is something we can do, yeah, with a van, of course, to transport ourselves and our stuff, but we're definitely going to stay over the night in a hotel and, yeah, go to the next venue the next day. Because we're old farts.
And you know, now that you pretty much rebirth or rediscover your, you know, your extreme appreciation for this thing, do you see yourself doing it for another 15 years?
I don't know. I mean, why not? I mean, I'm 47 by now. Maybe let's make it another 13 years. I think with 60, I'm ready to retire from this. But I don't know. I mean, actually, I have no limit, you know. I do it as long as I. What I was saying is that, yeah, I mean, I really like doing this, but I have no limit of how long I will do it. I will do it as long as I have fun doing it, and the good thing is that I'm not depending on it. So if I have to quit tomorrow or just don't feel like doing it anymore, I might have a couple of euros less in my pocket, but I would still have enough to make a living on, so everything's cool.
And you know, I mean, all this career and everything, what do you think are your highest moments so far, and what do you think you're still missing or you still have the craving of achieving?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm really quite satisfied the way things have turned out so far. I mean, I'm really, really happy with this return of Iron Savior, I must say. I really wasn't expecting this, and this is really cheering me up big time at the moment, I must say. This is something that I really deeply enjoy at the moment. I mean, the responses, talking to people just like yourself, you know, getting good reviews and stuff like that. This is makes my artist heart feel good. So I'm quite a happy man at the moment concerning this. And well, I mean, if I look at other people I know who are in the business, I really don't know if I want to change places with them. I mean, fame is a nice thing, but, you know, I have my life, I have my family, I'm quite well known. I was putting my mark in the heavy metal universe, and so everything is cool for me. I really don't need more. If it's going to be more, it's fine, but I'm not craving for it.
You know, a lot of musicians now, I mean, the recent years, it's been, you know, the use of the guest appearances here and there, side projects and all this stuff. Are there any other things that you're involved that haven't come out yet?
No, not really, and I'm not so interested in that, because, you know, I just said, from the beginning of this interview, I told you that I stopped doing my other band, Savage Circus. I mean, Savage Circus was a nice thing for me to do. It was interesting, it was challenging for me to write all the songs and stuff like that, because it's something that I haven't been doing before. Iron Savior is just really different than Savage Circus. I mean, it's both, of course, power metal, but yeah, I mean, Savage Circus is a different thing, and it was a challenge for me, if I could do it or not. Now that I've been doing it for two times in a row, I realized that it's really, really drawing a lot of time from me, and which, if I now look back, I rather would have used for Iron Savior instead. And so this, now with also seeing how and all the emotions I have with this album, it was clear for me that this is what I really want to do. I mean, I just couldn't picture myself after having written and produced The Landing and sitting down summer this year and start writing songs for Savage Circus. There was just, no, I couldn't picture myself doing that. So I draw the consequences and quit that. And I must say, I'm really happy with this decision now. And I'd rather sit down in summer or autumn this year and start writing new Iron Savior stuff, because that's really what I enjoy more, to be honest.
And, you know, I mean, as you mentioned, you had the bad experience on the label side of things. Would you consider doing it again, or you just stayed off that side of the business now?
No, I stay off that side. I mean, I'm an artist, and I made my experiences with that. I burned my, I got burned once, and that's enough. No, I'm cured from that. In the beginning it was a good idea, but no, I'm through with that.
And, you know, I mean, this is a very important issue, since a lot of labels are going down. I mean, especially, well, not particularly metal, but smaller labels are going down thanks to piracy and all these other issues. What is your stance on all this stuff that, for example, we have now in the U.S. with those anti-piracy laws?
Well, I mean, as an artist and somebody who is, I'm not making a living on it, but... you know, I mean, I appreciate if people pay for my art, and I do not appreciate if they just download it, you know, and so I think anti-piracy laws are kind of okay, and I'm not really in the boat with the people who say, well, the internet is for free, and forever, and everything is for free, because just the internet, I mean... You know, if I write a song, it's my song, and if somebody just takes it and puts it on the internet, that just not makes this song a free song, you know. I think this definition is a bit strange to me, I must say, you know. Just because the internet is there does not mean that once it's in the internet, it's off law, so whatever, or you can just steal stuff, you know. And so, no, therefore, I think it's quite a good thing to come up with this anti-piracy laws. Actually, a little late for my taste. It could have been. This should have happened 10 years ago. So no, I'm okay with these anti-piracy laws. If I want something, if I want to get something through the internet, I usually buy it instead of just getting it. Yeah, I mean, I can understand that there are. I mean, if you're a kid, you know, if you're like 12 years old or maybe 14, and yeah, it's cool to get something from the internet for free, I found this really cool address where you could get stuff for nothing, Okay, if you're 14 years old, you don't have too much awareness of what you're doing, but, well, I mean, most of the people who do that are not 14, and, I mean, every song that gets, you know, ripped from the internet, well, the original artist who is relying on his income, yeah, you take that away from him. So, and I guess most of the people are old and smart enough to understand that. But it's a really funny discussion. I also have really close friends who are not related to music, and whenever it comes to the issue of downloading stuff, I'm always surprised how many people still think it's totally okay to get a movie or get a song from the internet from a special address just for nothing. It's really surprising still.
Yeah, I guess it's how people are being brought up now too, which is going to be a problem in the future, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, if somebody would pay me €2,000 to €5,000 a month, then I don't care, you know? then you download and rip my songs as much as you want to, but it's not happening.
That is exactly true. So just to kind of, you know, wrap things up, is there like anything in particular that you're interested in telling or letting the people in North America know about this release that haven't gotten it yet and they're deciding about it?
Well, I mean, if they haven't got The Landing yet, then I would suggest they buy it. I mean, Amazon is a good source for how to get it. For example, the album is also available on iTunes and on many other download platforms, and you could also mail order it. So, and I think, I mean, it also should be out in stores. So there are many ways to get it legally, also in the U.S. So please buy and support your not local but your European artists.
Any plans or anything in the talks about shows in the U.S. maybe?
Not so much, I must admit. I mean, problem always is that you did all the initial costs to bring a band over.
Oh yeah.
You know, and well, I mean, I would just love to play in the States again. Would love to return to Prog Power. I don't know, maybe it's working out. At the moment, they are they're working on the Rooster for this year's Prog Power, and well. I mean, I check on these I check on the forums of Prog Power regularly. I read Aaron Xavier quite a bit in the posts. So I don't know. Maybe it's happening. Maybe I'm getting a mail from good old Prog Power in March or so. It would be cool. I really love this festival. It's definitely a great place to be and a great venue to play in. Really nice people. I love it. And well, on the other hand. My mother used to live in San Francisco, California, so it would be also, I mean, it would be great for me to have play a couple of shows across the United States, you know, starting from the West Coast and digging your way through to Atlanta and then fly home. But I'm in fear that this will remain just an idea.
Well, only time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely right. But never say never, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So. It depends on, I mean, if the people are buying the album like crazy, then it's, of course, more likely that we will come over.
Hopefully that happens then.
Yeah. And tell your Canadians also, because if they buy, then we could also hop over to Canada.